Ok, apresenteu?
No, bye, no.
13-year-old Ivana Fenlon walked up to me outside a church and primary school in Camperin.
My name is Ivana Fenlon.
Okay, you speak very good English.
Inside, a group of Haitian American nurses was seeing people for medical checkups, serving hot meals and giving out blood pressure and diabetes medication. I was talking about the hurricane with a farmer from a community near Ivana, a three-hour walk from town. Ivana stood behind us, leaning against a gate and listening in. When we were done, she came up to me and said, I want to talk too. I thought, what he's saying is important, so I'll talk too. We walked across the street to a park strewn with branches and fallen trees, the swings tied into knots by the wind. A group of boys played soccer on a basketball court with one hoop left. The other lay on the ground. Ivana and two friends sat down on a bench and she started telling me about her family.
Mon père s'appelle Marc Jolino Fenelon. Ma mère s'appelle Eliane Georges.
She told me her father and mother's names.
J'ai trois soeurs, deux frères.
And that she has three sisters and two brothers.
La grande soeur s'appelle Joran Fenelon.
Matter-of-factly, with a soft sadness in her voice, Ivana told the story of the night of Hurricane Matthew. When the storm hit, she says, all six kids were inside. The roof blew off and we started to cry out, oh Lord. Her mother, Eliane Georges, was killed when a wall collapsed on top of her. Her father managed to keep the children on the other side. Just above a whisper, Ivana tells me. We are in God's hands now. Her father salvaged a single suitcase he pulled down from the rafters before the roof flew off. Ivana's birth certificate, a cell phone, and a few other possessions are all that stayed dry in the storm. Ivana and her family are living with several other families in a neighbor's house. She wants to go back to school. She's gone to talk with her teacher. But she says her teacher won't let her go back until she can replace her books and her backpack. Later that afternoon, Ivana took me across the street to meet her aunt. I had eight sheep. All eight died, she says. That's what helped us live. Selling sheep is what helps me put my kids through school. And that's exactly what Esnel Sincère is worried about. He's the principal of a school in Camperin.
Even if we do our best to rush and reopen schools, where are parents going to come up with money to pay for school?
The very things the storm destroyed, livestock and crops, are like a bank account for many people in rural Haiti. You might sell a pig or a goat when a big expense comes up. Most schools in Haiti have fees paid in several installments a year. Schools rely on that tuition to keep the lights on and pay teachers. Tuition at Esner Sincère School is about $200 a year.
Imagine nous sommes au mois d'octobre.
Imagine, we're in the month of October now. There are students who haven't paid the first trimester fees, which were due in August. How are those families going to afford it now? If parents are able to scrape together any money at all, they have to use it to buy sheet metal so they can put a roof over their heads.
Ça c'est toi tu secondaire là.
Sincère pulls out his smartphone to show me pictures of the damage his own school sustained. Several buildings are missing roofs. Most of the files kept in the main office were destroyed in the hurricane, including many students' birth certificates. An assessment done by volunteers with the local government found that all 80 schools in Camperin had some damage. Five were destroyed.
Ah, okay. Il y a un côté pour l'aller, pour la courir. Ok. Donc l'eau a été entrée et puis tout ça descend.
Where they can, the school staff have been taking it upon themselves to repair the damage. The city of Lekai is 15 miles southeast of Camperin, on the coast. At the École Normale,
Tout ça, c'est document.
Pendant les derniers 5, 6, 7 jours, comment
tu as gagné beaucoup de l'eau, mais jusque-là.
Holding two hands out above her waist, she says the water came up to here. Even without accounting for structural damage to roofs and colleagues have spent days since the storm trying to get school ready to reopen.
Par exemple, il y a un côté là pour nous prendre l'eau avec bokit, pour nous prendre l'eau, mettre dehors, mettre matelas, mettre.
They used a bucket brigade to empty water from flooded rooms and dragged soaked mattresses out to dry in the sun.
Oui, l'eau était son bon temps avant les baisser. Ils font bon temps.
Qu'est-ce qu'on fait déjà?
Pour nous prendre de l'eau, par exemple, il y a côté là, on prend de l'eau, trop en pile.
Ah ouais, toujours.
Mais côté nous, t'es toujours. Tout ça. Tout le ça.
I don't know how, but we have to go back to work all the same. Schools that across town at École Primaire de Sainte-Anne, hundreds of residents of a ramshackle neighborhood behind the school poured in during the storm. Here's Joël Josil, the school's caretaker. Josil heard four guys knocking at the gate in the middle of the night during Hurricane Matthew. He didn't want to let them in, but they climbed over the wall. Josil says the young men told him people are dying outside. When they told me that, he says, I saw I couldn't say no, even if the principal wouldn't be happy. Since then, they've been here, he says, sleeping in classrooms, doing their laundry in the courtyard outside, and going out during the day to work as maids, merchants, and motorcycle taxi drivers. The neighborhood they left, La Sinal, is a maze of half-crushed houses, just steps from St. Anne's back wall. Antonine Germain leads me behind the school and into a narrow alleyway flanked by one- and two-room houses. Children play on the floor of homes without doors or roofs. We pass a woman napping on a bare mattress piled high with clothes. All these people are living in Sainte-Anne. We take a right past one more row of damaged houses and walk over tires laid out in the mud like stepping stones. Germain waves her arm over a swamp littered with styrofoam and discarded baskets. This is a spring where people bathe and do their laundry, she says. Before us, the path to another section of La Sinal is still flooded. Sometimes it gets backed up, but the storm brought so much mud we haven't been able to get the water level back down, she says. This is not the kind of neighborhood the students who go to Sainte-Anne live in. It's a middle-class school, and it was among the first schools in the region to reopen this past Tuesday. The principal and some residents feared a confrontation. I reached one of those residents, Ousved Sinclair, over a scratchy phone connection a few days later. They wanted to hold the school hostage until the government stepped in to provide roofing or some kind of place for them to go. But in the end, Sinclair says, the situation was diffused peacefully. People fanned out to sleep at relatives or in churches and in other schools. The people of La Sinal are still looking for a way to get their homes back. But for the students at Sainte-Anne, at least one part of life has returned to normal. I'm Ruin Moore-Garrity.